Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. And the evil one, that's put in Matthew's gospel. And one of the things that the passage points out to us is much more than a good father would do for us, or much more than a bold neighbor would do for us, and constantly go to somebody and say, help is needed. Would you come through? Our Father in heaven will come through for us and wants to provide for us of himself and for our own souls. So have a confidence in God's initiating move toward you, even when it feels like you have to go to him many times in prayer. He's always more willing to answer than we are to ask. So keep on asking, keep on knocking, and particularly in our walk with God, avoid the landmines of the Christian life by saying, our Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're going to look at that application on in different levels this morning. I remember a number of years after we were married, we needed a new car. And so Regina and I went, we planned on going to a number of car places to carefully go through a process, get a car, be a good steward, be rational in the decisions that were made. Well, the first dealer we went to, I told Regina, don't worry, we're not going to get a car today. And so we go in, and I happened to like the color of the car, big deal. I didn't know anything else about the car. It was a Plymouth Acclaim. They don't make them anymore. Okay. The car dealer we went to is not there anymore. That shows you a little bit about what happened. And that day we walk away, I'm driving the car out. And I think, how in the world did I get into this situation? You know, and there we were. And the car never did work right. The transmission was bad, and we practiced not having whiplash on a number of occasions. But the Bible tells us about temptation that comes before us in life. If we think we're going to be okay, be careful, because we're probably not. If we think we're going to be okay against sin, no, be careful, because you'll fall. And that's the warning Jesus has given us here. He says, pray, lead us. Lord, lead us. But not in ways where we know we're going to fall, even though we think we're going to stand. The Message Bible puts the paraphrase of the prayer in this way. Father, keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. And you and I are susceptible to that. Any sin that's out there is probably in part in here too. Someone said sin is an inside job. Okay, so only Christ ruling our hearts can save us from the power of sin. He saves us from the penalty of sin for sure at the cross. We can know we're going to heaven. But he'll also save us from the power of sin. So we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from ourselves and from the evil one. A child's prayer, put it this way, prayed many times, didn't know what I was praying, but I liked it. I liked the prayer. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It's like a Bible prayer. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I'll fall flat on my face, Lord, 100 times a day, unless you help me. Okay, that's Jesus is asking us to pray with that kind of direction. And some songs that express the same prayer thought. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Okay, that's a song meant to honor the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help to follow you. I don't want to fall in the ditch. I don't want to think I'm standing strong when if I'm away from you for a minute. You know, who knows what mud I'd fall into. Another song. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Okay, there we are. We do fall down. The Lord can pick us up. The righteous man falls 7 times a day, but the Lord will pick him up, the book of Proverbs says. And the heart cry of Jesus here is for our own health. And one of the things about the Lord is you think of temptation and the devil. It's not so important to know the 100 ways that you might go out of bounds and sin against God. But it is important to know there is a person who can help you every day stay away from sin and walk in God's way, and that person is Christ and Him alone. So the prayer puts the Lord right in the middle of the trials of life and your own personal weaknesses and flaws, which, you know, if you don't have any, or if you think you don't have any, ask your family members and ask the Lord, and they'll help you with that. So I'm going to go over some applications of what to watch out for that are common temptations, I think, for the Christian and for any person out there. So these are common temptations that the Lord can deliver us from. And one of the things I did, I don't know if it was a confession time or what, but I just started to think of things in life that I've seen people fall down in, and I have fallen down in. And it really was an opportunity to trust God when the temptation was coming. Okay, so instead of having 15 lashes at you today, think of these things as opportunities to know Christ's faithfulness. Because He's the only answer to the problems that you're going to see on the screen here that are temptations. Some of them come from the book Landmines in the Life of the Christian by Charles Stanley. He goes through a bunch of them. And the other half are the ones that I've noticed in my own soul and in the fellowship of God's people. Common temptations. One very simple one is that we forget God. He's simply not on our minds, not on our hearts, not on our radar screen. Okay, he's out of sight, out of mind. It says in the Bible that the foolish man, in all his thoughts, there is no room for God. So your mind might be going 100 miles an hour with many things and many responsibilities, but God is not in His rightful place in your thinking. You're not taking every thought and saying, "Here, Jesus, you direct this thought." And the Lord wants us to love Him with our minds. Jesus exhibited the opposite of this by saying something like this. He said, "Hey, my meat or my food is to do the will of Him who sent me." So if you were to talk to Jesus and say, "You know, have you thought about the Father lately?" He'd say, "Thought about the Father? I'm in constant fellowship with Him. I'm talking to Him throughout the day, and He's given me that direction, and we're enjoying the fellowship we had, you know, from all eternity past." So, common temptation to forget about God. The solution is Christ at the center, and Him taking our thoughts in His way, so that we can, as one man said, think God's thoughts after Him. Here's a common temptation to think that Christ is for church, but not for anywhere else, not for here. That's it, where you are throughout the week. Okay, Christ is for 10585 Farview Drive. That's where you spend time with Him. The rest of it, you know, you come back and see Him next week. Okay, that's a common mentality, certainly in the world, and also could hit the Christian's life. I actually had a friend one time. We were basketball junkies, old-timers, trying to play a little bit. And he said to me, "Don't pray on my court, and I won't cuss in your church." Okay, that was his negotiating way of understanding life. He was basically saying to me, you can follow Jesus all you want in church, in the building. Go have a great time. You know, you're not going to bother me. Not going to impact my life. Just keep Him there, but don't bring Him into everyday life. Certainly don't bring Him in recreation. Don't bring Him to work. Don't bring Him to the school. You know, all that stuff. And that's basically a put down of the Lord when you and I do that. We have that mentality. Okay, because the Bible tells us Christ is the head of all things. In Colossians chapter 1. The motorcycle group, they go out there today, fantastic, the bright green shirts and everything. They do that because they have a common thankfulness toward toward the Lord. He's their safety and shelter. So you get out of that temptation. And I was always taught, and I think you would amen this, if you can't follow Jesus, you know, in the most unlikely place you're at, then you really can't follow Him too well here on a Sunday morning. Because He's the same Lord. So that He wants to do that. Here's a contemporary temptation that is huge. I've heard almost every one of you say this along, and I've said this. Okay, ready? You don't have to go to church. That is, gather with other believers. You don't have to do that. You know, it's just Jesus will get you to heaven. Forget about see those people around you. They're optional. I call this the lazy Christian's creed. Okay, you got to say what it is. I do, you know, you sleep in. Lazy Christian's creed or the loveless Christian's creed. I'm not going to want to get together with people I don't love. Are you kidding? But if I love them, I will go to them. I'm not going to, just to make a comparison, apple to apples, I go to my family once a month and say, you know, I don't have to be a part of this family. What do you think I'm telling them? Where's my heart at that point? You would say, hey, no, you're called to you love them, you know. God put them in your life and He put you in their life. So get together. This is the anti-apostles creed. Creed for the Christian, the Apostles' Creed. Remember that? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the church, the Holy Church, which you don't have to go to. No. You get away from that. Jesus' mentality was what? I love the church. I love the church like a husband loves his wife. Okay. The good husband who does that. So take from Jesus the cure for that. That comes in all kind of subtle ways. Joy, if I could tell you, I'm going to write a book, 500 Reasons Not to Go to Church. It would be a big seller. Okay, here's a big one. I don't have a problem with that sin. When we think we are going to be strong, that's when we fall. Okay, the story of my buying a car. Oh, I'm not going to be attracted to a car. Don't worry about that. Even in our walk with God, sometimes where we think we're strong and we make a stand, God shows us later we're a little bit weak in that area. This experience has been repeated about at least 5 times in my life in various prayer groups I was in. And I was right along with the ones jumping out the window. The prayer group would gather together and we would say, prayer is so important. This is fantastic. This is, you know, like our lifeline. We love praying. We love gathering to pray. In fact, we don't know why everybody doesn't love to do this. In fact, we're gonna keep praying together, you know, until Jesus comes back. The first guy who makes that speech, guess what? In about a month, he's out of the group and you never see him again. Okay, it seems to never fail. I don't know why. The guy who stands up and says, I just want to let you know I'm the most generous guy you're going to meet on the block, you know. And pretty soon, he's nowhere to be found. He's like, he's dropping off. And so the Bible tells us, if you think, you know, again, if you think you stand, be careful so you don't fall. Jesus was tempted in every manner just like us. Okay, but He didn't sin. And when He was tempted, God gave Him His word again, and God sent angels. So when you think, oh, I'm not going to have a problem in an area of life, pray, give me God's word. Give me Jesus. It's like the lady sang. And give me angels to help me. Might come in the form of other believers. Here's one I thought I'd put in there because it's common. And we trick ourselves for different reasons. One of my family members called this on me the other day. I was being critical of another person, and they said, oh, you're a better Christian than them? And I said, yes. So not only did I sin by what I was doing, I sinned by standing up for myself. But then it took the Lord a while to get my attention and say, hey, they're putting their finger on a problem in your soul. So that was a good thing. God's Word is evolving. His standards for the truth and right and wrong don't change. Now, I do this with respect for those in authority, okay, who we should pray for. God put them in authority. Our president, you know, he's thinking about life. He's thinking about husbands and wives and marriage and things. And he said, okay, I used to feel it was God meant man and woman. Yes, definitely. That's it. That's all I know. And now he said, well, I think I've kind of evolved for, you know, it could be another way. It could be same-sex marriages. And he said, I just changed that way. You're not going to find that in the Bible. Okay, you're not going to find that. God's Word, what was right yesterday is right today. What is true yesterday is true today. And that really sets us free. And we have a confidence in life. Did you ever talk to a parent that one time they say, hey, you don't have to, you know, you have to eat your broccoli every time you're here. And then every other time they're saying, oh, you know, whatever you want to do, that's fine. The poor child doesn't know what's left or right, you know. And that's what we do when we get away from God's Word. You never know what we're going to come up with for whatever reason. And God wants us to turn from that. Anchor our souls. Jesus said heaven and earth would pass away. His words would never pass away. Here's other landmines of temptation. Again, it could be inside job, could be something outward. We're susceptible to this, except that we abide in Jesus. He's the one. Keep us on the safe path. One time a missionary had to go into the jungle with one tribesman, very dangerous area. The missionary says, where's the map? You know, to this rough area. And the tribesman says, I'm the map. You just follow me, you'll be okay. Jesus, the map, and His Word. Landmines for the believer. Charles Stanley says, pride. I'm a little superior. Okay. Pride goes before a fall, the Bible says. You might be more gifted than somebody. You might be more knowledgeable than somebody. But always remember, please, that before God, you're superior to nobody. Okay. At the foot of the cross, where are you at? You're on the level ground. See, when you come into Jesus' presence, you come based on His Son. That's all. You don't come based on any superiority that you have. You might say, well, we were kidding around the other day about titles and some places, because they want to acknowledge accomplishments, will say, the Right Reverend so-and-so. Okay, now, if I was in trouble, I'd want the Right Reverend so-and-so to come and help me, not just the Reverend so-and-so. But God says no room in a Christian's life for pride. Thankfulness is a cure for that. Thankful for what the Lord does. Jealousy, another pitfall. I deserve what they have. It's common to the human heart. I deserve what they have. No, the Bible says you deserve hell. Anything outside the lake of fire is grace. So, amazing that you've been given Jesus and you can go with Him. So watch for the jealousy. Contentment is a cure for that. You find your soul's rest in Christ alone. Come to Him and you'll have rest, He said. Put my yoke upon you. Insecurity. Says, I'm too messed up for God to work. Insecurity is the twin brother of pride. I heard the example this morning. You know you have a problem with insecurity if somebody comes up to you and says, you look great today. And your first thought is, well, what about last week? You know, are you saying I was ugly up to this point? What are you saying? You start to you turn that compliment into something. You can't really mean that. What do you want out of me? You know, you just walk through life totally off. But God says in Him you have value, and your soul's worth more than the whole world. So you don't have to be insecure. You say, hey, my Father in heaven loves me. Unforgiveness, I'll remember that. That's saying that I don't think God can cast that sin into the ocean and remove it as far as east is from the west. Not only mine sin against myself, but other sin, people's sin against you. God wants to remove that as far as the east is from the west with His help in healing and forgiveness. And you can remember it in a new way. When I think of that person, you know, my blood pressure doesn't go up anymore. I actually say, Jesus loves that guy or that gal. So landmines which we have. Disappointment. God let me down. That's a common one. There are many of them. But I wanted to say, to know this, that God not only calls us to meet Him in worship and closeness with Himself and joys and blessings, which He does, but God calls us to meet Him in the hospital room and at the funeral home and at the graveside. He says, come and meet me there. And we say, can I meet you over here instead? Meet Him in both places, because He's there in both places. In fact, He might be a little more powerful in some of the bad places that are difficult. Greed, I need more. That's a common one. Opposite of thankfulness. I think greed, I said this at the first service, and you check your own soul. I think greed, someone said, we become comfort junkies in our life, both materially and spiritually. I'm just going to attack the spiritual over here. Now, God says to you and I as Christians, you know, you're wealthy beyond compare. Let me give you my Son, the King of Kings. And so often our response to Jesus is what? I need more. And He says to us again, let me tell you again, I give you my Son. And if we say, I need more, you know, what are you, Buddhist or what? You got to say, do you understand who He is, who God gave you? Do you understand how incomprehensible He is and how almighty He is and how loving He is? So when you hear God say, I give you my Son, believe me, nobody ever who really met Jesus said, is there anything else in the spiritual basket for me? He's the treasure. Immorality. Got to be close to somebody. You know, the immorality, it's not just a bunch of dirty-minded people running around. But really, if you're not in healthy relationship with people, you'll probably go out of bounds searching for some kind of closeness. You know, Paul Simon, the singer, says, boy, there was time... Sometimes I was so lonely, what did he do? He went to the prostitute. Wow. God offers you healthy relationships instead. Fear, I'm losing control. Now, we should know, we're not just a bunch of molecules bouncing around, so we have to anchor ourselves somewhere. But God loves us. He has a plan for us. And I don't want to miss out on some of these. How does God give us the gift of Himself? Just to focus in, who then leads us not into temptation? It's the Lord. He delivers us from the devil and from ourselves. He makes us in His image, so we have dignity right off the bat. We're loved. Christ's unconditional love and tough love, always with you. The believer has noted that and embraced that. And His love, tough and unconditional, is stronger than sin and death and hell. And it is fuel for our obedience. They say, I'm having trouble obeying God. What should I do? Just realize the love of Christ. Calvary's sacrifice. The power of God. If you know your loved one loves you, boy, you'll go to the mat for them. And the same with the Lord. If you know He loves you, you'll say, I want to follow you one step at a time, Lord, with your help. Jesus, the biggest one in your life, whether you acknowledge Him or not, that's a Bible fact. Jesus is the biggest one in the atheist's life. The atheist doesn't know it. God created him anyway. God loves them anyway. God sends the rain on His flowers anyway. That's the gift of God meant to help the person towards salvation. Realizing you don't have to earn respect of the Lord or His blessings because, again, created in His image. And realize Christ is not disappointed in you. So those temptations that maybe you've fallen in, Jesus already knew that. He knows your weakness. He can make you strong in that area and bring forgiveness. And sometimes you'll be more effective following the Lord after you fall on your face a couple times than if you walked around and never had the experience of having to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Or you thought you did. That would be more accurate. And last part of the prayer that's only in certain transcripts, but I think it's the heart of Jesus telling us, say, may God's kingdom, power, and glory be forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. That's a prayer that people were supposed to receive in the Old Testament on a regular basis. You know, the Lord keep you this week. Keep you today. Keep you at work. And one of my family members had their grip tested recently. And so there's an increase in 2 pounds on one hand. That's fairly significant, I think. It's like 10% increase. But can you imagine being gripped by God's almighty hand? See, I got you in my hands. Nobody's going to take you away. He's holding on to you. You say, thank you, Lord, for that comfort and that assurance. Jesus says this, no one can take you out of my hand. John chapter 10. Cannot be separated from God's love. Lord, keep my soul. You know, because there is evil. There's the demonic. There's my own sin. There's the world and that's against God. God keeps us from that, His love. And then He really turns up the good news here in Hebrews. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No other being in the whole universe could express that to you. God does. And you could count on Him. He's faithful to keep His Lord. A word. And then in closing, Psalm 27, the keeping power of the Lord. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. King David, he was thinking of real life. He said, well, what if my father's not there, my mother's not there, you know, the loved ones aren't there. God says, if even those closest ones aren't there, the Lord will take me up. He'll take me up. And so you maybe had people forsake you in your life, off and on. Well, guess who's coming to get you? Say, Jesus says, I'll take you up. You know, I will be there, the one who sticks closer than even a brother. How faithful the Lord is, and how good He is when we recognize our need for Him and say, Lord, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from the evil one. And God's faithful, He will do it. Would you rejoice in Him as you go today? Let's pray together. Father, this part of the prayer is really a prayer to the ability to face danger. And it's not just the danger and the sin we face, but it's a chance to see Your faithfulness and to see Your keeping power, Your forgiveness. And actually, what help you can give us, Lord, on a regular basis, moment by moment, kept in Your love. We think of that song. And so keep each dear one here, Lord, close to Yourself. We know that Your great will for us and Your strength is mightier than our faith. And so might You bring us through the temptations of this world as Your children, leaning on You more heavily as time goes on. Give each one of us that sense of confident security in You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.